Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Joel Elkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show, also editor of the Pre-Market Prep website, which we will link below. Now, Joel, this week, it almost feels like a Fed week, but it's not a Fed week. It's an inflation week. Markets are slow as we head into this inflation number. The CPI comes out tomorrow. Estimates are, from what I've seen, kind of all over the board, but it looks like inflation is going to remain fairly elevated, maybe a little bit off of the recent readings, but I've also seen expectations that it could be 9%. It's tough to call, but again, it is almost like a Fed week because everyone's going to carry it forward to Fed policy, or at least their estimates. What do you think about just waiting on this CPI number, what it might come in at, how the market's going to take it, what's going to be important after we get that data?
Good afternoon, Shannon, Corey. Thanks for having me. I hate when everyone's waiting for one thing, you know, but it's important. And, you know, there's two camps here. The first camp is saying, well, it's not going to come down. The inflation, the data is taken early in the month. Now, what the commodities have done this, you know, early in June to the end of June are polar opposites. So if you're taking that reading from early June, then yeah, they're going to have an elevated number. But if you look at, I mean, just the eyeball test, Corey, I mean, look, well, I mean, crude at the beginning of June was right up near the highs of the move. That's not good, right? Now it's $25 lower. Let's look at corn. Okay, corn. June, right near its highs, around $7 a bushel. Now it's $6 a bushel. Copper, absolutely getting annihilated, okay? The beginning of June, it had come off its high, $4.60, now $3.30. So the eyeball test tells me inflation is coming down. Commodity prices are coming down. But when do you get that reading? I think that if you don't get a good reading this month, then I think you get one next month. And I think that even I'm rarely, you know, it could be like dead wrong. But like if I had the lean, I would say it's going to come in a little bit hot. But there's going to be like some kind of comments or some Fed head's going to say, yeah, but it's going to come in next month. So just, you know, you can never, you know, expect the unexpected. But when I'm looking at the commodities, the components that make up inflation, they are coming down. Price don't lie.
That's a good point, Joel. And even if you just look at the year-over-year comparables, if people remember back to last summer, you know, June and July and August of 2021, that's really when the inflation numbers on the CPI readings really started spiking up a lot higher than people expected. And so one would think that just we're not going to continue to stay at that same rate of increase. So just from that standpoint alone, they'd come down. But you brought up the commodity sector rolling over. A lot of that's due to the strong dollar, Joel, the strong greenback. So what do you make of that environment? Are we going to continue to see the commodities under pressure moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, the dollar is king right now, right? Rising interest rates, whether you're using those dollars to buy U.S. equities is the question. You have the euro going in parity, going to par. You know, your European banks are just telling you, man, we got a recession coming, a full-blown recession, and we're ahead of you. So, man, the buck is where you want to be. It's hard to reverse a trend like that. I'm looking at the euro today. I see maybe a sign of a bottom, but I'm not going to, you know, try to do that in a trend. So, man, makes, you know, the stronger dollar makes those commodities more expensive, right? And less desirable. So the trend is your friend as far as the dollar goes.
It is. But in all fairness, though, the dollar has been rising for over a year now. Remember, it was June last year that the dollar was at 90, and it's gone almost straight up and really picked up steam this year. The commodities just started rolling over, also timed with Fed rate hikes and more aggressive Fed rate hikes. Is it just the perfect storm then to bring commodities lower? What do you think is truly driving this pullback in commodities then?
A little bit of both, but you know, you get some demand destruction here, right? I mean, you know, people, hey, I'm going to build a house. Well, lumber, you know, it's come down. So, you know, I think that they've, you know, I think that a little bit of a demand destruction is coming into play. my buddy that I do the morning show with, you know, talks about, you know, boats on Georgian Bay. And some people are not unwrapping their boats. They're not, I mean, they're not, you know, they're going to cost them $500, $600, $700 to fill it up with gas. So the Fed is getting what they wanted. And it's demand destruction. And then, you know, obviously what's going on in the Ukraine is affecting it too, as far as, you know, shipping, you know, to those parts of the country. So a little bit of combination of both, but I say it'd be demand destruction.
Yeah, Joel, I think you're right. And that's kind of what the Fed has signaled they wanted. And just to the your buddy's boat analogy, I live in the Seattle area where there's a lot of marinas, a lot of boats, and nobody is taking their boats out. And some friends were visiting from out of town. They said, why has nobody got their boat out? I was like, have you looked at gasoline prices lately?
Yeah.
And so I think the demand destruction is real. But we're also seeing things, Joel, like weekly jobless claims are starting to trend higher and new home builds are being canceled. There's a figure that looks at new home cancellations, and even it is reaching levels not seen since the pandemic. So do you think that's going to start affecting the retail sales numbers, or is it going to start affecting earnings season if we start seeing consumers stop spending?
I mean, it is. And I mean, it's already being reflected in some of your retailers. Still going with the eyeball test on the jobs front yet. And, you know, I went to my local pharmacy to pick a few things up, and there's a sign that says, we're closing at 7 today due to staff shortage. You know, so, I mean, it's just hard. I don't, you know, the employment outlook is still strong. People are still, you know, working. People got to get jobs because they can't trade meme stocks anymore. So it's, you know, if you start seeing, you know, that, I mean, that would be the nail in the coffin for me. I mean, I'm trying to remain optimistic. I know the numbers are going to reflect, you know, the GDP is going to be down. There's all these things. But the thing that's going to get me headed for the hills is when that unemployment rate, if that unemployment rate starts going up, then we're toast. And it's just, you know, we're at historically low levels. We've kept it that way. I don't know. We'll see how long it can last. This is a big test. And I think, you know, I hate to refer back to it all the time, but this is post-COVID, man. You disrupted the economy. You disrupted the world. You disrupted people's lives. You changed the way they work. You changed people's habits. I mean, you are not going to work through these things in a year. You're not going to work through these things in 2 years. I mean, that was a generational thing that happened, and the ramifications of it are going to be seen for decades.
Yeah, that's so true, Joel. And we don't even know what all the ramifications are going to be because of just how much people have changed what they think is a normal work day, what they think is a normal work life. And look, it's still trickling through the system. Plus, you got to consider just all that money that was pumped into the system when nobody was working. And now I think a lot of that money's gone from the back pockets of people. Turning back to crude, though, crude has had a pretty epic fall here. And today is another great example. It's down almost $8. It's finally back below 100. Do you think that bull market in oil is over? Also, considering that war in Ukraine, it's still ongoing. That was a major driver behind some of those pops.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that you still got, you know, if you're a producer, man, I don't know what OPEC says and what OPEC does, but man, they're greasing those pumps, man. They're getting everything out there that they can. If we have a recession, you know, people are going to be, you know, going to be driving less, and, you know, transportation. You know, it's really bad for the, you know, for the cruise lines and the airlines, those prices, but they're starting to come in. And I just think, like, people aren't filling up their boats. So, yeah, I mean, crude's such a tough market. The damage, though, like, you know, days like this, the damage has been, you know, been inflicted. Citigroup came out last week and said they got a year-end target of $65. I would just look at like this 95 area, which, you know, 96.08 is the low today. Let's give it a little bit more. Let's call it like 93 to 95. That would be the area I'd say, hey, you know, if it catches here, you know, stops at this area, establishes a base. But if there's one thing that we know about the markets, one thing we know about growth stocks, one, you know, when stuff gets going in one direction, it's pretty hard to reverse it, right? And you had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 up months in a row. You go to 120, and now you're working on two ugly red candles. Ugly red candles usually beget more ugly red candles.
That's a good point, Joel. And usually the trend is your friend until it isn't. And when that trend changes, they can stay that way for a long time. So we'll keep our eyes on the oil patch. But just as we wrap up, any companies that have your attention now as we enter the second quarter's earnings season?
Oh, man. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. You know, I'll just make a general statement, and let's take our cue from Micron. You know, besides the CPI data, if a stock can rally on bad news, right? Like Micron threw the kitchen sink in there, right? And it actually made a low on that day of the earnings, right? And that low was 51.40. The stock is currently trading just under $60. That is a huge rally off a bad report. So I'll just paint a broad brush. If stocks come out, kitchen sinking, bad news, somehow they rally, well, then that's a good sign. As far as individual companies, I have a pretty broad portfolio. Have not been putting cash to work for quite some time. And I'm not going to be on the edge of my seat for any particular report.
You, along with everybody else, Joel, everyone's looking to more sell the rip than buy anything for a long-term hold right now. And I guess that just continues to show just how tough this market is and, quite frankly, just how scared investors are, rightfully so, because, it seems like money's getting tighter and markets continue to move lower. And even everyone's waiting for a bounce right now. This bounce has been pretty slow. So we'll see how the rest of this week plays out. But again, we're all just waiting for some inflation data. Joel, thank you as always for your time, buddy. We'll chat in a couple weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Okay, thank you.